Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
And tough yard still on his feet, Jeremy McNichols. I don't think they're going to get him. And he is in for the Washington touchdown.
Excuse me, Jeremy Chin. My name's Jeremy McNichols, and I'm going to break your tackle and about three to four others on the way to a 60-yard touchdown run. That made it 17-10. Washington crushed the Raiders from that point forward, 41-24. A much-needed win for Washington. Good morning. Max is with me. You'll hear from Luke McCaffrey on the show today. Ben Standig as well. That was the perfect setup for an NFL win. Not to diminish anything that Washington did, because Washington played extremely well yesterday in all three phases of the game. But the Raiders aren't very good. They weren't very good yesterday off a short week. And as Eddie Jordan once said, you got to harvest them nuts. And that was a nut to harvest yesterday. You don't have to be great right now. You don't have to be healthy right now, which this team is not. But you have to get wins so that when you become a better team, when you become a healthier team, if and when that happens, the games you play mean something. Yesterday was a nut harvest win. Thank you, Eddie Jordan, many years ago for that description, as the Wizards were flailing but somehow capturing a few wins here and there during the regular season. A few takeaways here in the open before I get to my game take. And I'm going to start with this. Jalen Lane's going to be a star as a punt returner. And that's going to have a big impact on games for this football team. When they drafted Jalen Lane on day three of the NFL draft, there was celebration in the draft room. And I know you see celebration for every pick, but there was real joy that he was available there because they were looking for somebody that could give them a jolt, somebody that could flip the field, somebody who could score other than Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and the players that they have on offense. Jalen Lane, you could see signs of it last week against the Packers. And then yesterday, he took that punt 90 yards. He has everything you love to see in a star punt returner. If you think this is premature, maybe it is. I'd love to hear from Brian Mitchell on Jalen Lane. He is, first of all, a great catcher of punts. He does not bobble them. He's got very good hands, very good eyes. Secondly, he sees it as it's coming towards him. And then with that vision, he is decisive. He is great with that first cut, and then he's got game-breaking speed. I think out of yesterday's game, there was a lot to like across the board, but Jalen Lane, to me, looks like he could be a major part of the team's success if they are to have success this year. I think we're only a few more returns away from teams starting to consider kicking away from him. He is a gifted, talented punt returner. They knew it on draft day on day three. They were not sure what they were going to get from a receiver standpoint. They felt like he could eventually develop into something of an offensive player, but they felt like they got the best punt returner in the draft. And already 3 weeks into the season, he's got a 90-yard punt return. That is the first punt return for a touchdown since 2016, Jamison Crowder against the Ravens on the road. There's so much to pull from this game, and we're going to go through it, and I'm going to give you guys a chance to do it. But I wanted to get to Jalen Lane right from the beginning because he had a big day. They didn't even need him to have a big day, really. But there is an absolute talent right now at a position that we haven't had in a long time on this team. He's going to change games during the course of his career as a punt returner. Loved what I saw last week and really loved what I saw yesterday. All right, I've got four additional takeaways, sort of high-level takeaways from the game, and then I'll get to the game take, the things I liked, didn't like, and other observations. Give you guys a chance in about 30 to 40 minutes to weigh in via the phones. Number one is this. You know, yesterday when I said it's the perfect setup, you know, if you've followed the NFL, if you've bet the NFL, there's a perspective that you have about teams that are tired versus teams that are well rested. We've talked a lot about, you know, Warren Sharp's, you know, net rest advantage data. This was the best net rest advantage game of the year for Washington, who overall for the season has the third worst net rest advantage. They are at a disadvantage this year by about 13 days, meaning, you know, you look at the schedule, how many days does your opponent have to prep for the game? How many days do you have to prep? More often than not, it's 7-7, Sunday to Sunday. But in this case, Washington was Thursday, the Raiders were on Monday night, and then you throw in they're coming east from the Western time zone playing an early game. And yeah, it was the perfect NFL setup. Bettors understand this. And I think teams understand it to a certain degree as well. And Washington's mantra yesterday, right from the beginning, was we are going to be physical. We are going to take it to them. We are going to muscle the Vegas Raiders until they say uncle. They came out in heavy personnel, six offensive linemen. We talked about that possibility last week with Trent Scott. They ran it down the Raiders' throat on offense into the end zone after a big kickoff return by Deebo Samuel. Talk about a return threat in the kickoff game. How about Deebo and two massive kickoff returns in the last two games? They were flying around on defense. They were hitting on defense. They were hitting on special teams. This was Quinn and his staff's plan to muscle and take it to Vegas with a level of energy, enthusiasm, and physicality that just the Raiders were not set up to handle yesterday. I don't know if they're set up to handle it at all. They are terrible up front along their offensive line, and they were hurt yesterday with their best guard, who was active but didn't really play much at all in the game. We talked about this as a weakness, that the defense could lead the way up front in particular. That Raider offensive line is pitiful. It is really awful. And then it wasn't fresh on top of that. And Washington came out and they took it to the Raiders. Number one, loved the fact that they understood the opportunity. This was the setup. And if you came out and punched them in the mouth early, it was going to be a long day. Now, it was 10-10, but it never felt kind of like the Giant game in the opener. It never felt like Washington could lose to the team they were playing yesterday at home. They were the better football team all the way around. Number two, another takeaway from yesterday's game. Washington's got such a great quarterback situation in terms of their backup situation. Marcus Mariota, first of all, is a very good NFL backup. Probably, a bottom third still starter in the NFL. He could be a lot better than several quarterbacks currently starting in the NFL. But the quarterback situation in Washington, in terms of their backup situation, is perfect. They have a pro in Mariota. They've got a pro in Mariota who's not desperate to start. He is as desperate to play, as he's as desperate to mentor Jaden Daniels as he is to play. He's always prepared. He's got great versatility as a player. He fits the system perfectly. You never have to change the offense when he's in there. It is a really good quarterback, backup quarterback situation in D.C. Yesterday was his first start since 2022. Remember, he did not start that Carolina game. He came in. There was already a 10-0 lead in that game. And he came in the second half of the Cowboy game in the season finale. He was yesterday, considering that just a few weeks ago, he was a quarterback that was dealing with, Achilles tendonitis. He looked so physically fit. He was sharp. He was quick. He was fast. He was an excellent decision maker. He was outstanding in the zone read game, outstanding in the RPO game. He played like Marcus Mariota, the Heisman Trophy winner 10 years ago. He really looked good. The offense is, I think, for Mariota, Kingsbury's offense, the best offense for him in his professional career. I think if he had had Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator right from the jump, Marcus Mariota would have had a ton of success as a starter. He had some success, but not consistent success. Part of that is because it's their college elements in this offense. A lot of college elements. You've got zone read. You've got options. You've got RPO in the game. You've got tempo in the game in that offense. Love the fit for Mariota. Love the backup quarterback situation in Washington. Now, do I think they could win 10, 11, 12 games if Mariota had to start 17? I don't. But that's not what they're asking him to do. I will get to his game in much more detail. Needless to say, he's going to have a very high grade from me in the game. Another takeaway from yesterday, and I've already sort of alluded to this, just a reality check on yesterday. In addition to this being the perfect setup, from a rest standpoint, from a west to east standpoint, the Raiders are not very good this year. They are in Pete Carroll's first year figuring it out. They are really bad up front offensively. And I thought going into the game that this had a chance to look like the Giant game defensively, although it was not perfect defensively, and we'll get to that in the game take. Really on the other side of the ball, minus Max Crosby, they're not that good. So you take this isn't a good team with this is the wrong day for them, the right day for the opponent. Again, perfect setup after getting wrecked in Green Bay to come back and get a win. I really felt like this was a get-right game, especially if Jaden were quarterbacking. I thought that it would be a blowout. Well, guess what? They didn't even need him to quarterback to put up 41, 34 offensively, 7 special teams-wise, although the Debo Samuel kickoff return also set up points as well. But a really good day for Washington and a perfect opponent for the situation. Lastly, man, the injuries are piling up, something we did not have to deal with last year. I can already hear the calls coming in this week on Terry McLaurin's quad injury. This is going to be all about the time that he wasn't practicing this summer. It might be, it might not be. By the way, didn't he score on that play? How did they instant review it and get it wrong? Because, and Quinn had already used a challenge, and it was not, you know, a desperate situation to challenge your first and goal at the one, but Terry scored on that play. But Terry's got a quad injury. Lattimore has a concussion. The secondary issues yesterday with injury. Trey Amos, calf. Percy Butler, hip. And then Will Harris, ankle, and it's bad. According to, you know, a lot of the reporting yesterday, I think Ian Rappaport had this. Where is it? Yeah, Will Harris suffered a fractured fibula in the win. He's having more tests to determine the full extent of the injury, but Harris is out for the foreseeable future. So Washington's injuries are piling up, not to mention, of course, Eckler and Wise, Bates and Noah Brown, and of course, this will be a week. You know, unless for whatever reason Quinn decides I'm not going to play possum, you know, during this week, I'm going to tell everybody up front where we are. There's no reason to do that. Make Atlanta prepare for both as long as you can. That is an advantage, and I would imagine we would get that. But we are on Jaden Daniels' watch for week two. There was a lot of reporting prior to the game yesterday. I'll read this quote from Jeremy Fowler. Jaden Daniels is out for this week, and it really wasn't even close. This was Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, pregame, which begs the question, what is he looking like for week four? So I checked with a source over there who said it's just too early to tell on that knee sprain. They want to see how it responds. Closed quote. That from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Quinn speaks today at 3:30. I would assume that Chris Russell will carry that. We'll get updates on all of the injuries. But yes, we're on Jaden watch for week two, but the injuries have piled up for this team, and injuries are a reality in pro football. They're not an excuse. I know that, you know, Next man up, and players and coaches will tell you that. That doesn't erase the fact that that next man up very often isn't as good as the man that he's replacing. So teams get impacted every year by the loss of key players, and Washington had multiple starters out yesterday, and they could have even more Sunday when they face the Atlanta Falcons, a team that got beat yesterday 30-0. Michael Penix Jr. got benched late in the game. He threw two picks. He fumbled. And the Falcons, who looked so good a week ago on Sunday Night Football at Minnesota, shutting the Vikings nearly out of that game, got beat by the Panthers 30-0. The NFL is truly, already we've seen it through 3 weeks, the, you know, emphasis on week-to-week league, it never disappoints. The Giants in week one, then the Giants in week two. Russell Wilson was terrible last night after being brilliant in week two. The Browns beat the Packers, who were a Super Bowl favorite, after crunching Washington a week ago Thursday night. And then you had the Panthers, who looked horrendous in their first two games, not only beating the Falcons, shutting them out 30-0. If you think that means anything as it relates to Sunday's game against Atlanta in Atlanta, you're not paying attention to the NFL. anything can happen. And by the way, the desperate teams in this league are typically the most dangerous. And Atlanta will feel desperate after the performance they put on yesterday. Washington right now is a 2 to 2.5 point favorite in Atlanta without really knowing for sure who the quarterback will be. There you go. So some big takeaways. God, I was impressed with Jalen Lane. The quarterback situation in Washington from a backup perspective is as good as any. I'm not saying Marcus Mariota is the best backup in the NFL. I'm saying the situation is the best. I loved the way they took it to the Raiders. That was a well-coached outfit yesterday, unlike last Thursday night. Recognizing the setup and just taking it to a team that wasn't fresh, that probably was hurting a bit coming into this game, and they went 6 offensive linemen on that opening drive, heavy personnel, the number of formations, the number of backs that played in the backfield, the number of offensive linemen, and by the way, it wasn't the offensive line that we thought it would be, you know, last week. Changes to that, but they really came out flying around. Hard-hitting game, really hard-hitting game, especially from Washington's perspective. But yes, impressive. They needed it. They're 2-1, and they're going to Atlanta next week to try to get to 3-1. All right, I will get to my game take. You'll hear my grade on Marcus Mariota, all the things that I liked from the game, the things that I was concerned with watching the game, and a bunch of other observations. We'll get to that when we come back, and then your chance at about 10:45, 10:50 to start lining it up on the phones at 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980. We are also, remember, on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hanging in, going deep, and a pass is caught for a touchdown by Santana Moore. Washington Redskins finally get into the end zone in 2005. From the 30, Grinnell going deep for Morse again. He makes the catch, and Santana Morse for a touchdown. Wow. And again, it's Glenn and Williams on the coverage. He beats the same two guys.
Unbelievable. He just outran him, and Mark Brunell got it out there.
Al Michaels, John Madden on Monday Night Football 20 years ago this week, the Monday Night Miracle. Simply put, one of the most shocking endings to a Redskins game in franchise history, and certainly in terms of the shock value, right up there at the top of the list of some of the most memorable Skins-Cowboys games in history. 20 years has passed since that night. And I had Santana Moss on to reminisce about that night on my podcast earlier this week. And what was funny about it is when we started to talk about that before we started to talk with the podcast recording, I said, do you know what this week is in terms of a 20-year anniversary? And he had no idea, and that's where we kicked it off.
Yeah, I had no clue. So I mean, but just you asking me kind of gave me that kind of maybe it's something dealing with me. So I just luckily, you know, said that date.
All right, let's go back 20 years ago. Week 2, Dallas on Monday Night Football. Remember the opener that year? That this was Joe Gibbs's second season. This was your first season in Washington. We had the Lavernius Coles season, and then, you know, he didn't want to be here, and Clinton takes credit for the trade that brought you here. It was a low scoring defensive game in the opener against the Bears. Ramsey, you know, went out. Brunell came in. I think he wanted Brunell from the beginning. Do you remember it that way? Do you remember kind of Joe wanting, you know, a reason to put Brunell in the game?
I had no clue. Remember, I was fresh. I was like a fish out of water. I had no clue what was going on
right
around me.
Right. Okay. So we get to Dallas. You guys haven't scored a touchdown in the first 7 quarters of the season, even though you beat the Bears. It was 3 field goals. And you're getting beat 13-0. And Santana, I swear to you, as a fan watching this game, you know, most people, except for the diehards, turn this thing off. It was an ugly game. We couldn't score. Dallas was up 13-0. What are your memories of that night before lightning struck in the final 4 minutes of the game?
Just what you said, man. It was an ugly game, and that's why one of the reasons why it took me so long to say this was one of my favorite games. And I had to be reminded by the fan base that, hey, this is what happens when we play Dallas. This is why this game is so special. So, you know, being a guy that had already played 4 years in New York, and this was my first time being a part of this rivalry, I had no clue why the game was so special to this fan base. So it took me a while. But after I made those 2 scores, you know, and probably some weeks later, I had no clue, man. But I'm glad that I was a part of that, and I'm glad I was the guy that did it, because that was like my introduction. That was like, here you go. You know, that was like my welcome to D.C. moment, and I couldn't be more thankful.
It was a 4th-and-15 with just under 4 minutes to go, down 13-0, when Mark Brunell threw the first touchdown pass to you. 4th-and-15. You guys on that drive had overcome a 3rd-and-27. Brunell ran, and on 4th-and-2, he found James Thrash for a completion. It's 4th-and-15. Still seems like there's no prayer. What do you remember about that first touchdown?
Well, the first touchdown came, I was on the sideline kind of pouting, and CP came over to me, like, asking me, you know, what's wrong. And, you know, normally that's how we do. When the game is about over, we kind of start getting our mindset for the flight and what we got to do next week. And CP, like, what's wrong, bro? And I'm like, what you mean, what's wrong? You know, and that's like my first initial thought to him, and that's what came out. And I'm like, bro, I ran all these plays on Friday that I told him that I liked. You know, that I want to run against Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn was a teammate of mine with the Jets, and I thought the world of him. And to be honest with you, Aaron Glenn was the reason that I thought that my game was where it was at, because he kind of followed me around my rookie season in practice, like, hey, I'm gonna get you right, and you're gonna get me right. And so I thought the world of Aaron Glenn, but I remember watching him go up against Marvin Harrison and all these other guys in our division in the AFC East. So I gave Coach all these plays, like, Coach, I want to run this. I can run every route that I'm giving you and more, but I like these routes against Aaron Glenn. And we get to that point of the game, and I hadn't ran one yet. And I also probably only had one or two catches in that game. So when I tell CP that, you know, I'm pissed off that I didn't get a chance to do all these routes that we practiced that Friday, CP comes back with Coach Gibbs, and Coach Gibbs' first initial word to me was like, hey, you want to run Dino? And I'm like, I looked at the clock, and I'm like, sure, Coach, I'll run Dino. Like, I didn't want to give him my, you know what, the kiss, but I was pissed off. So I'm like, yeah, Coach, of course I want to run Dino. And that's all I remember. I remember him saying, okay, we're going to do it if we get the ball back. And that was the first route. That was the first touchdown. And after that, it was like, oh, man. I guess he looked at it, it was like, this is why this guy pissed off. He knows he can do this. And then I come back to the sideline, and he tells me, great job. If we get the ball back, we going at him again. Rest was history.
So I'm learning something here for the first time, and I think a lot of people are learning it for the first time too. Clinton, who takes credit for bringing you to Washington, to going to Gibbs and saying, well, let's just go get Santana. If Lavernius Scholes wants out of here, we'll go get let's go get Santana Moss. So that trade happens, and you're telling me in one of the most memorable Redskins Cowboys games of all time, the game is over. You're over there. They haven't run the play that you. First of all, let me back up. Would you typically on a Thursday or a Friday go to the coach? Go to the OC and say, hey, these are the ones I like?
Man, you know what? To be honest with you, that was my first experience of really being their kind of, I guess you could say, quote-unquote, go-to guy.
Right.
That they started asking me, do I like these routes? And that was kind of like alarming to me as a guy, like, you know, where I just came from, they care less what I like. But they gave me, you know, the ball whenever the ball come. And, you know, and I'm being the guy who I was, you know, I made the play. So when I got that kind of rapport with them after that first week, I just, you know, that week leading up into that game, you know, they asked me, hey, what routes do you like? And I just say, hey, here's the list of routes I want. You know what I mean? And so that's what I had with that particular coaching staff. And it worked tremendously for me, because if you saw that year, that was one of my best years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was mad that after that season that we didn't have that same report, because it's like now we get a different offense in the next year and they don't ask me those questions no more.
You know, the other thing Clinton for that season takes credit for, and I think you've confirmed this with me before, is that Joe and company wanted in Vinny, they wanted to take Kellen Winslow, and
yeah,
Clinton,
and he asked them to get Sean.
Yeah. Clinton said, you should take Sean Taylor, and Gibbs said, well, we really want offense, and Clinton said, well, if you want offense, take Sean Taylor. That was his answer. Like, if you want the football and you want, then take Sean Taylor. And of course, that was Taylor's rookie season.
I kid you not, for the fans that know all the other stuff that Clinton was about with the, you know, the little funny costumes and stuff of that nature, and just the way he did things.
Yeah,
Clinton had a way about going and talking to. And when I say adults, I always feel like I look at my coaches as, like, that's like your mom and your dad. Like, you don't go to talk to them like you would talk to your friends or your siblings.
Right.
But Clinton had a way of talking to the ownership, to the head coach, better than any other player I ever been around. He always got his way with them. So, yes, I hate to say it, but he was a guy that could go talk to anybody and tell you what he thought or what he felt should happen.
By the way, it didn't really work with Jim Zorn, though, did it?
Not at all. I think, and much as I like his Jim, Clinton didn't like Zorn the way same I liked him, and I think it rubbed him wrong that Clinton was one of those guys that would just say what was on his mind.
Right. All right. So the first one on 4th and 15 makes it 13-7. We get the ball back, under 3 to go. Just about 2.5 minutes to go. at your own 30, first and 10, and so the play call comes in again and it's the same play?
So it's not the same play. It's still a post.
Yeah.
But this time it's just a beeline post. And he was like, it was crazy because I remember that play when we called the second one, they lined me up on the left side of the field. And I'm not sure if we brought the play in wrong or it was just, you know, said out the huddle. So we called a timeout, if I'm not mistaken, and then we changed it. We flipped to the right side because Coach wanted to make sure I got on that side with Roy Williams and Aaron Glenn. And when I got on that side, I just looked at the coverage, and I'm like, wow, this guy, Roy Williams, is still sitting. He's not high enough. He's sitting squatting at, I'm thinking, almost 16 to 20 yards deep. And I'm watching where him and Aaron kind of shading each other, and I'm like, this is cover four again. They're sitting in cover four. Roy is playing for something underneath. So I kind of made my route. Instead of running a regular post attacking Aaron, I kind of attacked in the middle between both of them. So when I put that foot in the ground, when I take my initial two steps towards that post, I should be able to get behind Roy a little quicker. And man, thank God that you got an old veteran, you know, that just know how to throw the ball. Mark Brunell threw the ball before I put my foot in the ground, and when I looked up, by the time I looked up, the ball was already coming down.
Yeah, and it's kind of an over-the-shoulder catch on that one. It was perfectly thrown, right?
Yes, perfectly thrown.
And I'm watching the play right now. Brunell's got time. He steps up in the pocket, and there it is. And when it lands in your hands, I mean, it was like, you know, sports are so great because, you know, when you least expect it, but it's still shocking. That is truly one of the more shocking couple of minutes of football for this franchise I have ever watched. It's not over yet. You're up 14-13, but tell me, after you go into the end zone, you're coming back to the sideline, what went on at that point? Gibbs is like, what took me so long?
Everybody was just ecstatic, man. They was looking at me like, oh, you know what? This is what we got in this guy with number 89 on. And it was crazy to see the reaction from my teammates because all of them have respect of you from wherever they've seen you play at, from your U days, from my days with the Jets. And even with some of the things that I was doing up to that point, but the playmaking, when you're making plays like that in crucial moments of games, you kind of get a different look from your teammates. You get a different stare, like that almost like, oh, he's that guy. And you can see that from everybody. Like, their eyes was big. They was hitting me so hard on my head. And I'm just one of those nonchalant guys, like, man, you know, I was happy, but I was still at the same point, like, damn, we waited all this time to do this.
Right.
And CP and Sean was the guys that I really, you know, we just had a way of connecting and speaking to each other without even saying anything. And when CP hit me, like, I told him, and then Sean came to me and said, I'm going to get this ball back. And that's when I knew, like, okay, you know, we got that same kind of swag that we had at UM. You know, even though Sean didn't play with me and CP, we speak the same language. And Sean kind of took that as, now it's my time to go out here and make a play so I can make sure that these guys don't score this next time out.
Yeah, remember he blew up Patrick Creighton over the middle?
Yeah.
And got the stop. You know, I'm looking at the play-by-play of the game. This part, I guess I don't remember. You guys actually got the ball back after Sean crushed Patrick Creighton, and then Walt Harris had a big play on Terry Glenn. And you got the ball back. They had timeouts left, and Clinton ran three times, and then you guys punted, and they had one last opportunity, but with no timeouts left and deep in their own territory, and the rest is history. So, you know, over the years, like, you know, you mentioned, like, you didn't know what Dallas Washington meant going in. You were new, clearly. What has that game meant to you, over the last 20 years?
Are you kidding me? It meant my whole career. Honestly, like, I don't know if it was, like, something that ignited my performances for the future with those guys, but it seemed like every Dallas game, no matter what coaching staff was here, if they wasn't giving me the ball the way I wanted the game before or the week before, they found a way to involve me in the game plan come Dallas week. So it was just like one of those things to where sometimes as a player I get mad thinking about it, like, you mean to tell me we're going to wait to Dallas week to get me off instead of just giving me the ball every week like this?
Yeah.
But it meant the world to me, man. I think when you look back at my career here, what better way to start your career here, with this franchise and to have that kind of effect against that team, but also have that effect that I had with, the fan base, knowing that you can count on 89. And it wasn't something that just happened when I played Dallas, but they knew that when we played those guys, it was going to probably, my play was going to rise because the coaching staff was going to make sure they found a way to get me the ball.
I'll tell you what, seriously, it's one of those nights as a fan of this team. Like, I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly – never thought about turning the game off. I was never one of those people that gave up. 13-0, it's two scores. It didn't seem very likely. But, like, it was one of those games when it was over, it was so thrilling. It was, like, almost impossible to go to sleep. It was actually my second year, in radio, and I was doing this kind of post game of the Skins games for 980, because it was a Monday night game, they didn't have the post game show on, so I was home watching the game, and I'll never forget it. You had so many memorable games, but nothing compares to that. Like, I do think of that Jacksonville catch in overtime that you took, the big catch from Jason who threw that ball to you to beat the Saints that year. But I'm looking at that season, which ended up being a playoff season, as we know.
Yeah.
The next three games after that Dallas game, you got targeted 12, 13, and 14 times. So it was a bit different after that game.
Yeah. It was a huge difference, man. And that's why I say, as a player, you're in the moment, so you're not really thinking about it until you think about it. And when I reflect all the time, I'm like, wow, that season I was tearing it up when it comes to 100-yard games.
Yeah.
Like no other season in my career, because now this new team that I'm on is like, feed 89 the ball. Feed whatever you do, feed 89 the ball. But not just feed me the ball. It was Mark Brunell most of the time, because Mark was a guy, even when I wasn't in the progression, he would come find me, and he would tell me, 89, leaving the huddle, I love the fact of playing with older quarterbacks, because it's the same thing that I had with Vinny Testaverde in New York.
Yeah.
When I would leave the huddle, after making a couple of plays with these guys, they would just know to say, hey, stay with me backside. I might come to you. So when you have that kind of confidence in your player as a quarterback, I can just imagine what they was going through when they say, hey, man, and when in doubt, I'm throwing to the guy who's going to get me, who's going to catch this ball and do something with it. And that's what Mark and Vinny would do with me. So I remember that year, man, Mark just, I would be backside. Even against that 2006 game when we played Jacksonville,
yeah,
that play I ran early in the first half. Mark asked me early in the first half, were you open? I said, of course. But the coverage was kind of like, man, that time. The second time he threw it to me that I scored on it, I wasn't open. But Mark just knew, man, Tanner's going to go up and try to make an attempt for this ball, so I'm going to throw it to him. So it's one of those things, man, when a quarterback feels you're going to make him right, he's going to always find you.
Santana Moss, everybody, what a career here in Washington. He went into the Ring of Fame just a few weeks ago during the opener against the Giants. A welcome entrant into that Ring of Fame, and deserving as well. Santana Moss, third on the reception list franchise all time, behind two Hall of Famers in Art Monk and Charlie Taylor. Reception yards, he is fourth all time, trailing Monk, Taylor, and Gary Clark. I've referenced this list of, the really good receivers in franchise history, of which you are one of them, a lot over the last, few months during the Terry McLaurin contract, discussions, because Terry's, moving up quickly on this list. But what a player, what a career here, and what a memory you provided. Truly one of the most memorable, regular season games in franchise history. I really appreciate you doing this. Hope you're well, and let's talk soon.
No doubt, man. One of the things about me when it comes to all that, I don't play the game for it. And I feel that that's the mindset we're supposed to have. But you hear a lot of guys that think differently. They're like, look, I play for the Pro Bowls. I play for the Hall of Fames. I played because I was gifted enough to play this game. And I was also, it was a privilege to me to play. But at the same time, you go out there and say, I just want to be able to hold myself accountable and make sure the team, my teammates know that when in doubt, this guy who's out here, you know, making these plays are going to be somebody that we can always trust in. So to have that career, to have the accolades afterwards, man, it's always a blessing. But, you know, I just enjoy knowing that I had that effect and I was a guy that the fan base look at the way they look at now.
Well, and for those of us that just know you even a little bit, you've been a total class act since the moment you arrived 20 years ago. And I think people appreciate that about you as well. Hope you're well. We'll do this again soon. Thanks for this.
Always, man. Thank you.
Santana Moss reminiscing about that game 20 years ago this week. All right. There is an interesting connection between one of our regular callers and the doctor that Terry McLaurin sought an opinion on as it relates to perhaps his quad injury. That caller has weighed in, and I'm going to share that information with you when we come back. Ben Standig will join us at 12 from the park. Dan Quinn scheduled to talk next hour. We will carry that live. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
All right, Washington at Atlanta on Sunday. A team that they beat late last season, that December Sunday night game. What a football game that was. They were down 17-7 at the half. They were lucky they weren't down by more. If you recall, Raheem Morris did a horrible job all night long with the clock and with timeouts. Had no clue what he was doing. He's bad at that. Raheem Morris is actually a good motivator. He is a guy that everybody in the league loves. They have killed him down there in Atlanta for his clock management. He is one of the worst in the league at it. In fact, that could be a factor on Sunday. That game was a Jaden Daniels special. He put that team on his back in the second half, led them to a lead. Eventually, Penix Jr. tied it to Pitts, and then Washington won it with the overtime coin flip and going down the field with Jaden. Just magical on that final drive. Remember, the overtime rules are different now. So a touchdown on the opening drive of overtime doesn't end the game. The other team gets an opportunity. All right, Washington beats Atlanta if. I think the number one key to this game is stopping the run. And they've done a really good job against it in the first three games. They're number five in the league per DVOA in rush defense. This was their biggest weakness, team weakness last year, defensive weakness last year. And they've improved. But how much of the improvement is because they faced a giant team that had a banged-up offensive line, was missing their best offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas, and really was an almost impotent offensive football team in the opener? How much of it is because of the Raiders and their bad offensive line? I think a lot of it is due to that in terms of the lofty sort of rankings right now, advanced and traditional in terms of statistics. Now, I thought the run defense was pretty good against Green Bay as well. Their problem against the Packers was coverage and miscommunication in coverage. But they gave up some yards to Josh Jacobs. He got them when he really needed them. Number one key to beating the Falcons Sunday, you've got to stop Bijan Robinson. He is elite level. He is a superstar. He is going to be on Sunday, if Jaden's not on the field, the best football player on the field. Number seven, Atlanta Falcons running back. He is so smooth. Zone runs, screens, no matter, you put the ball in his hands, his vision, his cut ability, his wiggle, his make-miss ability is incredible. And then he's got some power, too. And then he's got speed. I mean, he was a top 10 pick for a reason. He's turned into an absolute stud. The Minnesota defense could not stop him 2 weeks ago. And he was essentially taken out of the game on Sunday by the score as much as anything else. It's not just Bijan, though. He's the superstar. Tyler Algiers is one of the best backs in the league that is a backup. Best backup, but he'd start for a third of the NFL teams, maybe half of them. And he's power, but he can run too. You've got to tackle well in this football game. You've got to shut down the edges. This would have been a Dietrich Wise game. You've got to set the edges against the Falcons. Remember last year, Bijan had, in the first half, I think he had close to 100 yards in the first half in the game last year. When they were down 17-7 in the first half, he was averaging, I think, 8 yards a carry in that first half. Atlanta really should have been up by so much more. Robinson had 90 yards for the game on 17 carries, 5.3 yards per carry. Algiers averaged 6.3 yards per carry. But 80 of those 90 came in the first half. Washington, remember, dominated time of possession in the second half of that game. Number one, Washington beats Atlanta if they can stop Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algiers, and put the game on Penix Jr. You know, Atlanta runs a ton of pistol. They are not under center with Penix. They weren't under center last year with Kirk. Lots of pistol. You'll see it with two tight ends a lot on Sunday. I feel sure of that. They did not do and run a lot of personnel, 12 personnel Sunday, in part because they got behind and they had to throw the football. So they were in 11 personnel more. Charlie Warner, their second tight end to Pitts, was a bit banged up. But you're going to see two tight ends, pistol, and an effort by Atlanta to come out and run the football and control the football and take the pressure off their young. And by the way, right now, maybe low in confidence quarterback. Number one, stop the run. Number two, you've got to cover on third down. You got to cover, period. There have been too many miscommunications in coverage. Drake London is good. Darnell Mooney is a phenomenal route runner. You've got guys like Kyle Pitts, as I mentioned, who are a little bit better right now than they've been. But you've got to cover better. You've got Trey Amos looks like he's a go. I think he was full yesterday. Sanristil's got to be better than he's been in the first three games of this year. Lattimore should be a go. Jeremy Reeves is replacing Will Harris. I don't mind that substitution. I like Jeremy Reeves. They've got to be better in coverage, though. They got to communicate better. You know who's got to be better in coverage? Bobby Wagner's got to be better in coverage, especially if he's matched up against backs or a tight end like Pitts. So you've got to make sure that you minimize these coverage breakdowns, the eye discipline, the communication. We saw some great communication when Jeremy Reeves came into the game. Because Penix can stretch the field. He can throw it. Let me just say this. This may seem outlandish. Penix has a top 10 arm in the league. Top 10 arm. Just pure arm talent. He's just not seeing it right now. And he's panicking a little bit. You gotta cover well. And you gotta stop the run so that you don't have play action and short down in distances. I am so optimistic about what Washington is up front this year versus last year. This is going to be a really good test. I don't care how bad Atlanta was last week. Stop the run and be much better than you've been in coverage. This will be the biggest run test, by the way, by far. Okay, the Giants, the Packers, and the Raiders are not what the Falcons are capability-wise in the run. Let's flip it to offense. They've got to really be in good down and distance against Atlanta. You know, if they can run the football as effectively as they did with some of that heavy personnel, I think they can do that against Atlanta. I think they can run the football a little bit against Atlanta, stay ahead of the chains, because I think third and medium or third and long, I think it's advantage Atlanta this week for two reasons. One, Washington's offense, from a wide receiver standpoint, could be severely limited. Atlanta loves to come with extra pressure, play a lot of man coverage behind it. That's what they did anyway against Carolina, and they did it a little bit in that opener against Tampa. They like to be aggressive. They like to get Ellis. They like to blitz the safety, Bates. They will get after Marcus Mariota on obvious passing downs, play man coverage behind it. And if you can play man coverage this week, it's not that big of a challenge if you don't have Terry, if you don't have Noah Brown, if Debo's the one guy and he's not a stretch the field guy. So you can play a little bit more aggressively, play a little bit more press coverage. If you're in obvious passing downs in this game with Mariota in particular, I think that could be a problem. I think it could lead to sacks and some bad plays offensively. They've got to stay ahead of the chains. They can't be in second and third and long throughout the day and hope to overcome that against this defense with the receiving core that they'll likely put out onto the field. If they can run the football and stay out of the second and third longs like they did against the Raiders, that's the formula offensively. And I will just say, if they are in second and third and long, you got to protect, because they come and they come with speed and they've got athleticism. They are much better, their pass rushes, than it was last year. Third downs will be huge in this game. Did you know? I didn't know this until I started to really look at Atlanta last night and look at our team in the matchup. Washington's the number one third down defense in the league through 3 weeks. Again, small sample size, and two of the opponents have been pretty bad on offense. 28.6% they're allowing on third down, number one in the league. The way to get off the field on third down this week is to stop the run and put the game on Penix, and you'll see some punts. You know, punts are becoming fewer and further between because of the field goal length now that you have in this lead, in this league. You know, basically you get to that other team's 40, you're trotting your kicker out for a 57-yard try. You're not punting from the other team's 40. You're either going for it or kicking a field goal. And with all the fourth down go for it teams. But they can force some punts if they can stop the run. Third down. Excellent third down team through 3 weeks. And I think lastly, you got to get some takeaways this week. You know, typically on the road, it's helpful to get a takeaway or two, to be plus one, plus two in the turnover margin. Washington is just one of three teams right now in the entire league without a takeaway through 3 weeks. Just three teams are without a takeaway. Those three teams are Washington and then the Jets and the Dolphins. You know, the teams with just one takeaway are Cleveland, Dallas, and the Giants. So, you know, the better teams are getting takeaways. The worst teams aren't. Washington is the aberration in that category right now. Zero takeaways, but a winning record. Everybody else with zero or one has a losing record at this point. Time to start taking the ball away. And Penix Jr. put him up for grabs last week. If you can stop the run, because they are going to try to run the football, and you can put the game on Penix, you can get one or two this week. And, yeah, that would be big. That would be huge. That's the difference, by the way, in, you know, a win of more than seven, if you're plus one or plus two, and a game that's coming down to the wire with a chance to win it or lose it. Should be a hell of a football game, actually. Really good football game. With Mariota, it should be a good football game. With Jaden, it would be a good football game. But I would much prefer to have Jaden Daniels on the field Sunday. I'd like to have his arm strength. I'd like to have his ability to see it quickly. I thought Marcus did last week to avoid some of this pass rush, to be a part of the run game, which Mariota will be as well. This is going to be a tough football game Sunday for Washington. Stop the run. Cover. No miscommunications. Good down and distance on offense. Don't give Atlanta a chance to blitz and play man coverage on a limited core of wide receivers behind it consistently on second and third and passing situations. Get third down stops. You're number one in the league through 3 weeks, and a few takeaways this week would go a long way towards a win. So Jay Gruden, the former head coach of the Redskins, is on my podcast every week. We record it sometimes in the morning. And when we do, I like to play some of it here on the radio show. And Jay, I asked him basically through 3 weeks, even with the injuries and with the, you know, mystery around who the starting quarterback will be, I asked him to kind of just give me his thoughts on what he sees with this team through 3 weeks.
Solid. I really think they're solid. I think as I watch the rest of the league play, in which I have seen a lot of these teams play, almost all of them, Washington is as good as, you know, 85% of them right now, in my opinion. There's some bad football teams out there, but Washington really, you know, if they get their offensive line continuing to improve, we got to figure out another weapon to go along with Debo if Terry's out for some time. Defensively, they play hard. They're sound. Yeah, and Cliff calls a good game, and both quarterbacks can run and are athletic. So I think they're going to be in every game. I think they're going to have to figure out something to do about a weapon, big plays coming down the stretch here. Not down the stretch, but soon we got to get some big plays. But overall, I think they're as good as 85% of the teams in the league.
How hard is it as an offensive coordinator to generate real consistency moving the football or even with explosives when you are really limited at wide receiver?
That's difficult. You know, it really is. But they got to, you know, Debo still can play a little bit. And obviously, the rookie Lane, he's got the speed. And hopefully Luke, with his touchdown, will gain some confidence and some momentum. And Chris Moore's made a couple good plays here and there. So they got some guys that can run and make some plays. It's just a matter of, I think the key is to continue to be able to pound the football. They did a good job against the Raiders. They brought in the extra tackle to play tight end, yep, and they were able to move the ball between the tackles. And that's going to be the key. That will open up some of the big play actions and some of the things that get down the field. Without the running game, which they struggled at against Green Bay, obviously, they're going to struggle. So they got to make sure they maintain balance in their play calling, and good things will happen.
All right. So Mariota played exceptionally well against the Raiders. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, recency bias response from a lot of fans and others to say, hey, you don't have to rush Jaden back. We're fine at quarterback. You know, Jaden can sit back and rest and get completely healthy because Marcus Mariota can carry this team for a little bit. Do you agree with that?
I don't. No, I think when Jaden's ready, you gotta play him. And that's, like I said, I never got into the doctor business. I just, when Jaden said he's ready and the trainers and the doctor says he's ready, he's playing. I'm not going to say I'm going to wait another week because, in my opinion, you should wait another week. I'm using their opinion and Jaden. So if Jaden says I'm good, I say, hey, trainer, is he good? Yep, he's good. The doctor, is he good? Yep. Hey, get back in there, son of a gun. So, yeah, I'm going to play him as soon as he's ready. I don't give a dang.
How?
Because every game is important. We know that. It's going to come down. The wild card is going to come down to one game, or the division championship is going to come down to one game. You can't just say, well, we'll wait. We'll just, you know, take a pass against the Falcons coming off a 30-0 blowout loss. They're going to come with a chip on their shoulder and play their ass off. You know, you can't afford to lose a game that you should win.
How did you think Mariota played last week?
I thought he played great. I do. I mean, he was efficient with the football. He was accurate for the most part. And he obviously ran the ball good. He had that one fumble, but that was a good punch out by the Raiders. But overall, I think it was a solid performance. He played as good as about 20 other quarterbacks in the NFL did as starters last week.
So do you think at the end of this year, given the performance on Sunday, let's just say he's got another one like that, you know, at some point this year, maybe this Sunday, do you think that leads to an opportunity for him to start somewhere next year?
I don't know, just because, you know, you got another draft coming up and everybody's kind of got the quarterbacks right now, you know, you talk about, yeah, so, and plus he's got the injury history. So for somebody to go out on a limb and give him a good contract, 2 or 3 or 4 year contract like Sam Darnold got, I think would be a stretch just because of injury history, not because of his ability and his age.
All right, let's talk about Sunday, and let's just assume here for now that it's Mariota Sunday. How do they beat the Falcons?
I think you get on them early so the Falcons can go, oh, here we go again type thing, and just get in their heads. Falcons are going to come out, you know, with their hair on fire, you know, because they're embarrassed for what happened last week, so we got to guard against that, but you got to put your foot on their throat early and get them arguing on the sideline. Maybe they'll fire another tight end coach or something like that after the game. No, man, you got to be kidding me. They fire my guy, Ike.
I know. It's your guy.
Ike's a detail-oriented guy.
I know.
He's a good guy to have. I love Ike.
I know you do.
Yeah. I know Raheem quite well. I actually texted Raheem, but I was like, you know, they just didn't, him and the coordinator didn't get along. Would that happen sometimes? But
Ike and Zach Robinson didn't get along?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I think get on them early and obviously protect the football and force Penix to some bad throws. Penix, you know, if we can get after Penix a little bit, his confidence might be shaken a little bit because he was absolutely horrific against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he's staring people down, double clutching, throwing it in the stands, and throwing it right to guys. I mean, you check your fourth progression, throw a check wide to the back, and there's a guy flat defender right there. He picks six of it. I mean, you got to see things like that. I mean, I'm bitter because Atlanta was my pick last week.
I know. Well, it happens to us all.
So I want to crush Michael Penix's confidence early in the game, and it'll be a landslide victory for Washington. But the longer we let them hang around, they do have some good players with Bijan and Drake London. They have some good players that can hurt you offensively. And defensively, they have some good pass rushers if you get behind the chains or get behind in a passing situation.
Jay Gruden. Right, talk to you next week. Enjoy it this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, Kevin.
Jay Gruden. You can listen to the rest of that on my podcast when it's out later on this afternoon. He made a pick in the game. He had his lock of the week, and he had a lot of thoughts on some of the other things going on in the NFL, including why all of the blocked field goals. So here's what I want to do right now. I want to get a sense from you guys in terms of, are you more right now? You've got two of your best players, arguably your best two players, could completely be out on Sunday. No Jaden, no Terry. That's a good bet right now. I would say that a few weeks ago, if somebody had said no Jaden, no Terry, no chance, you know, against a decent team on the road, what's your confidence level now that they can win a game without arguably their two best players? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You're very confident. You're not confident at all. They will be more likely than not, as we sit here right now, subject to change, and we'll hear something from Dan Quinn in about 2 hours, especially as it relates to Jaden Daniels. There is a chance. I wouldn't wager on it. I'd wager on Mariota starting. But 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we would have said, no Jaden, no Terry, not much of a chance against a, you know, a halfway decent team on the road. But maybe you think differently now after seeing Mariota last week, after seeing Terry struggle a little bit through the first 3 weeks. What's your confidence level now that they can beat Atlanta, that they can win a game without their two best players? 301-230-0980. Calls next. Phone lines open. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com. All right, that was Dan Quinn. He'll continue. If he says anything else, we'll let you know. But he got right to it. Jaden Daniels out, Terry McLaurin out for Sunday's game. First game Terry's missed in his last 72 regular season games. Quad injury, he called it week to week. Jaden, medical didn't clear him. He's been working really hard, but they have not cleared him, he said, quote, just yet. Closed quote. But he is out. So is Noah Brown again and John Bates. Bill Krosky Merritt is a go as he practiced today. There will be other players on the injury report, but the headline there, no Jaden, no Terry. They're going to go into this game limited. Marcus Mariota, by the way, named one of the team captains for this game, according to the head coach. The other captains being Quan Martin and the punter, Tress Way. Look, this Jaden injury, I would guess that when it was first looked at, somebody said medically, yeah, this is a 2 to 4 weeker. Now, whether or not it's 2 weeks or it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we're going to find out in the same way we've been finding out week to week whether or not he's going to play. Of course, if he reports next week to practice in advance of the Chargers game and he's a full go on Wednesday and a full go on Thursday, well, we then know. But if he's limited next week, then we start that whole process again, unless Quinn tells us on Monday we feel really good about Jaden being ready to go against the Chargers. Terry, week-to-week quad injury, you know, we've talked about this injury all week. We'll see. But, you know, didn't have a chance, clearly, of practicing this week. We'll see what happens next. But they are entering, you know, this venue Sunday against a team that will be desperate after being embarrassed last week, a team that less than 2 weeks ago blew out Minnesota on their home field on Sunday Night Football. Shut them down defensively, ran it down their throats offensively, and people after that game were saying, ooh, is Atlanta in the conversation of one of the better teams in the NFC? That's the nature of the league. It's week to week, which is why you cannot count on a 30-0 loss to the Panthers effort Sunday at home. They'll be a desperate team, and Washington's going to be limited offensively, no doubt, without their two best players. We'll finish up the show with predictions, all right? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We now know Marcus Mariota will get his second start against, by the way, one of his former teams for a second consecutive week. He was a Raider, and the last time he started before last week was in Atlanta in 2022. So the Marcus Mariota revenge tour continues. We'll see. He's got a shot to certainly stick it to two of his former teams, even though the coaching staffs in both of those places are completely different than when he was there. 301-230-0980. Need a prediction, a final score prediction, and, you know, a footnote. Give me a footnote, something that you think will be a part of either their loss or their win Sunday in Atlanta. I'll have my prediction when we come back as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and theteam980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.